Good afternoon. The title of our presentation is Reducing the Incidence of Obesity in Adults with Developmental Disabilities in Kansas. Can't hear me. Sorry. Better? Okay. Reducing the Incidence of Obesity in Adults with Developmental Disabilities in Kansas. This was actually the title of the request for proposals from the Kansas Council on Developmental Disabilities to which we responded. It basically came with a question mark behind it. Can it be done? I have no relationship to disclose, and as I mentioned, it's funded by the Kansas Council on DD with pass-through funding from the U.S. Administration on Developmental Disabilities and matching funds from the University of Kansas. Our team consists of my wife Muriel in the audience and Joe Donnelly's team at the Weight Management Center and Energy Balance Lab at the University of Kansas. Donnelly and Dr. Sullivan Smith, Erickson, and Guilford are a team of very experienced researchers in the area of weight loss in typically developing children and adults. Just a little background using some statistics from papers published between 1995 and 2000. Obesity, described as a body mass index greater than 29, or for example, greater than 180 pounds at a height of 5 feet 6 inches. In America, adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities, 34.6% are obese. Approximately that many or more are overweight. The trend in the country is that by now, 2008, approximately 75% of all adults with intellectual and developmental disabilities are overweight or obese. Nearly twice as many females are obese. The highest residential setting for obesity in this population is the natural family, and by far those with mild to high moderate mental retardation are most likely to be obese. Just a little background as to how we got here. Muriel and I began by following 16 adults living in supported living in the community for 4 days each from Thursday through Sunday, and we photographed everything that they ate or drank. We provided that information to Dr. Donnelly's team, who in turn reported back to us that these individuals were consuming in the neighborhood of 2,300 to 2,700 calories per day, and they were living particularly sedentary lives. We asked Joe to suggest a diet that might be effective with individuals of this type. We applied it to ourselves for 6 months and found that you could lose weight on the diet, and that we didn't experience any side effects that we thought would be problematic for people with intellectual or developmental disabilities. It appeared safe, and we dieted without particular discomfort. The third step was to reply to the RFA from the DD Council, and we were awarded the contract to pursue the research. We next used Dr. Donnelly's team's knowledge of the weight management literature, our own literature on positive reinforcement programs for changing the behavior of individuals with intellectual and developmental disabilities, and Muriel's and my experience, a number of years of experience working with, observing, and training direct support staff in community and other types of programs. So what emerges is the nexus of that series of events and the research from multiple areas. Our plan was to teach a higher volume, lower calorie diet. It was to consist of 5 or more servings of fruits and vegetables daily, 3 high protein shakes or smoothies, and 2 frozen entrees from the local grocery store with a calorie count of less than 300 calories. I want to mention at this point that 2 shakes per day were donated to our project by Health Management Resources, HMR, who makes a variety of weight loss products. That was a tremendous boost to our budget for the project. We applied the stoplight concept to preferred foods. And so in doing so, essentially what we're doing, those in the weight management literature would refer to as the modified stoplight diet with meal replacement, the smoothies and the boxed entrees being the meal replacement. We conducted a food preference assessment with each participant and created for them either a typed or a pictorial stoplight chart. Low-calorie items are shown with a green dot. intermediate calorie items with a yellow dot and higher calorie items with a red dot. And we began to teach these individuals to eat as much as they wanted of green, to avoid red at every turn, and to eat yellow in moderation. We provided them a starting list of boxed entrees that were less than 300 calories. The number that are on shelves currently in our neighborhoods are double this number at the moment. Many new ones have come out. We then provided them with an individualized weight goal chart. It's called a type of histogram. This chart would show that the individual currently weighed 229 pounds, and their first goal would be to try to get to 223 pounds, or the loss of one body mass index point, which is what we promised the DD Council we would attempt to do in a six-month period with each participant. We said our goal would be one body mass index point of weight loss in 6 months, and then thereafter we would follow these participants for an additional 6 months. So the individual was given two of these sheets per month and encouraged to weigh daily and circle their weight so that they could track the circles, hopefully going down into the color bars, the colored zones. We also provided pedometers and encouraged them to increase walking. And by the way, both these individuals or their guardians provided informed consent under the auspices of our IRB, and the individuals had to have releases from their physicians for both the walking program and for the diet program. And we encouraged any other forms of exercise that they like to engage in. For the walking program, we provided a game board called Just Go Walking. It consists of green dots, each one of which represents 10,000 steps, with islands of achievement at 100,000 steps, and the final goal of 1,000,000 steps. Each month when we met with them after enrollment, we paid them $5 for each island they had entered during the previous month based on self-report and recording with their pedometers. And we taught them or their parents or their care staff how to total those steps and to use the chart correctly. This is a laminated chart which goes on the refrigerator held up by a magnet, and we provided dry erase markers to mark the circles. At the monthly meetings, we also reweighed the individuals and took waist measurements. We obtained their recollections of the foods and beverages they had eaten and drunk in the past 24 hours. That information was turned over to the dietitians and Dottling's team for analysis of calorie count and protein, carbohydrate content, and so forth. We counted the fruits and vegetables and smoothies they had eaten in the previous month, and I'll show that in a second. We discussed their progress and problems and reviewed with them the total calorie count from the preceding month's 24-hour recall, so they have an idea of whether they were moving in the correct direction of roughly 1,200 calories a day. We counted what they ate by having them use this sheet with, by the way, Friday, Saturday, Sunday on the back. The instructions to them were to circle the carrot for every serving of vegetables that they ate, to circle the apple for any serving of fruit, to circle the blender, which is very light blue on the screen, for every smoothie that they consumed, and to circle the little hot entree at the bottom for each frozen entree that they consumed. They were to write any additional green light snacks beside the green stoplight, and any additional red light snacks besides the red stoplight, to record their steps beside the tennis shoe, and to circle the tennis shoe for any additional exercise, and to indicate what type it was just below the tennis shoe. At the monthly meetings, we paid 5 cents for every item circled. It was an honor system, including the tennis shoe, with the exception of the red stoplight. We also then put an equivalent amount, 5 cents per item, into a savings account. And they were told that whenever they left the project, which could be at whatever point in time they desired, that they would receive the remaining amount in the savings account. However, if at any monthly meeting they had changed color bands on their personalized weight histogram, they could empty the savings account on the spot and start over. So if they, let's say at the second month, they had $15 in the savings account, and they had moved from white into the purple band, they would not only receive the money for circling the second month's worth of forms of this type, but they would also get the $15 in the savings account, and the savings account would start over. And as I mentioned, we at the monthly meetings, we totaled the steps taken and counted up their other periods of exercise. We awarded those incentives as well as a certificate for the first BMI point loss and one Jayhawk sticker for every BMI thereafter, with the exception of one Missouri fan and one K-State fan. Okay. This was a big hit otherwise. And we gave out bragging cards, which indicated how many pounds they had lost that month and what the total was that they had lost in the project so far. They could show these to family, friends, and direct care staff. We enrolled 94. That's the breakdown. This is the breakdown of their living arrangement, pretty well spread over the possibilities. Breakdown of their age. There's a correction there. Extremely obese should be 41% of the total. Our requirement was that they be over a BMI of 25, so they had to be overweight to enroll. Our results at 6 months with 52 dieters. I should mention that I'm only going to talk about those who actually attempted to follow the diet. We had 7 individuals who came to us each month for 6 months and basically reported to us that they hadn't gone on the diet yet. As kind of a miniature control group, and for further comparison, those 7 people gained an average of 9 pounds in the 6 months. Okay. But the first 52 in our sample who have completed 6 months, they had a starting BMI of 36.5. Their caloric intake by their self-report, and memory is an issue here, dropped by 400 kcal a day. They averaged a 2.5-pound average monthly weight loss, totaling almost 15 pounds, or almost 3 BMI on average, and they lost 3.5 inches at the waist. Our 5 most invested participants at 6 months had a larger weight drop, averaging a weight loss of 35.5 pounds, monthly average loss of 6 pounds, average waist reduction of 9 inches. Characteristics of those biggest losers are shown there, basically at those who just followed the diet the closest and who had someone who was equally invested in helping them do so. For 21 individuals who have finished the 6 months maintenance, they have lost an average of 5.3 additional pounds during maintenance, and our biggest loser at 12 months is 28% of baseline body weight. In maintenance, they are no longer required to use the weekly tracking forms, but they make requests to do so, and nearly all do, and they are only offered the 2 shakes a day if they request them, and most do. And we find in maintenance they continue basically with the same diet that they were on during our 6 months of supervised intervention. About the only limitation in this study was that we went through about a 5-month period of attempting to enroll our initial participants and did not get a very good response. The responses started coming in when our first 6 or 7 people began going back to their day support programs and homes and showing off the report that they had lost 5 pounds or 10 pounds or 15 pounds and were having all this fun on the diet and getting these free shakes. Then enrollment accelerated, which has really prevented us from meeting the real target of 100 really invested dieters within the length of the research. We're following this with an application to NIDDK for an follow-along R01 5-year project. It's actually in preparation for resubmission on November 5th. Thank you very much.
Excellent timing. These are great presentations and great presenters. Our next presenter is Dr. Elizabeth Bradshaw.